You're listening to KSKQ 89.5 Ashland, Oregon, community supported radio. The name of the show is Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. My name is Gary Wilson. The show contains adult themes. Disclaimer time, Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle show is informational only. It is not medical advice. If you need medical advice, please see your doctor. The central theme of this show is how internet pornography impacts young men, their experiences, and the science behind what they're experiencing. If you want more information, you can visit www.yourbrainonporn.com. It contains lots of information, video presentations, FAQs, links to other forums. Today, we have a guest, Gabe, and this is actually Gabe's second time on the radio. He's 25 years old. He developed ED after years of porn use. He regained his sexual functioning by abstaining from porn and masturbation. It took 9 long months. Gabe's earlier interview was very important as he is one of a growing number of young guys who are needing longer than 6 months to recover, unfortunately. All these guys started on internet porn in their adolescence or they started younger. Gabe, are you there?
I am, Gabe.
So, Gabe, what are some of the questions that other guys have asked you since they heard your story on our last interview?
I got a ton of questions from a lot of guys. I would say one of the most frequently asked questions I got was, how did I know when I was recovered, or how could I tell when I came out of my flatline? My answer to this is, it's different for everybody. I would say one of the simple answers is, simple things can turn you on again. But for a lot of guys, it's going to be hard to notice you're recovered until you notice you're getting hard. For me, it was just the anticipation of sex actually turned me on and gave me an erection. I actually had a physical response in my body whenever sex was an option. And rather than the flatline thought of, you know, I would love to have sex, but my body doesn't respond, I noticed that when I thought about sex, I actually felt a physical, you know, response in my body. So that's how I could tell I was recovered, is I actually got excited when I needed to. Now, another question I was asked a lot was, did I test during my reboot? I encourage everyone that's rebooting not to test, especially if they already know they have porn-induced ED. Now, yes, at the beginning, you know, the very first day I tested, I found out that porn could cause ED, and I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, I ran to my bedroom, and I watched my favorite porn, and I got instantly hard. But when I tried to masturbate without porn, I was using just my imagination in my hand, I couldn't get hard. So yes, I did test initially, but during the reboot, I didn't test because I already knew I had ED. And, you know, when I was with my girlfriend, I could tell that I wasn't getting excited. So I knew I still had ED. So there was no reason to test. So I encourage guys to just relax, you know, take some time to focus on other things in life and don't touch your penis like crazy, because that's just going to slow progress.
How did you handle withdrawal? Was that hard for you?
Oh, man. Withdrawal is very, very hard. About a month in is when it hit me hard. Some common withdrawal symptoms are anxiety, you know, depression. Insomnia was one that I struggled with. I had a real hard time sleeping. My muscles tensed up. I would shake. I had panic attacks. And
wow.
To be honest, what I did and what I encourage a lot of guys to do in times of, you know, heavy stress or withdrawal, or you just really feel down and helpless, is to read recovery success stories. And that's one thing that I did a lot, was just get on your brainonporn.com or Your Brain Rebalanced or NoFap and read recovery stories of guys that have been through withdrawal. You know, they've been through hell and they made it and they got to the other side, and that really, you know, gave me encouragement and hope and just some insight on what they did to get through. And some things that I did was, if I had urges to watch porn, or if I felt like, you know, something, like for instance, if I was watching TV and I got real mad if a commercial came on that was sexual, I would jump in the cold shower. Cold showers was definitely something that helped me get through any cravings that I had. Talking to people, I eventually got the courage to come clean with my friends and come clean with my girlfriend. and even my parents, and really just opening up to them kind of took that weight off my shoulders that withdrawal was, you know, laying on me, and it really freed me up. And I encourage anyone to at least get on a, you know, a forum like NoFap, Reddit, or Your Brain Rebalanced, and make an account. You know, you can do it anonymously. Get support and encouragement on there, and that was probably the key to getting through the withdrawal, is knowing that I wasn't alone, and knowing that there was tons of other guys going through what I was going through, and that, you know, it was a community there to help me.
Well, that's great advice. Now, I know that your last show was quite popular, and the reason it was quite popular, not only do you have a lot to explain, but that you took 9 months, and we're seeing a lot of younger guys needing to do it 6 months or significantly longer. Have they been contacting you for advice? And what type of questions do they hit you with?
Yes, they've definitely been contacting me. I'd say the number one question they ask is just, how did I avoid porn during that 9 month reboot? And still to this day, how do I keep avoiding porn? Some things that I did that are real practical. First of all, I took my laptop out of my room. I read a study that said cocaine addicts, their brains lit up when they saw cues that were related to their addiction. So I had my computer by my bed that I always used to masturbate with. And so the first thing I wanted to do was get that out of my room. Just, I mean, not that I was afraid I was going to relapse, but I just didn't want it by my bed so I wouldn't be tempted. And I had a big Facebook problem where I would just search Facebook and waste countless hours of time. And so I got my laptop out of my room, started talking to, I started talking to a lot of friends. I stopped watching R-rated movies, specifically if there was a porno scene in them, because I didn't want that firing up my pathways. And I started working out more, getting out of the house. I used to, like, going through withdrawal, I kind of wanted to isolate myself because I felt I was acting weird and not being, you know, my normal social self. So what I did was just got proactive about it and, you know, started hanging out with friends more and staying out of the house. You know, one of the biggest triggers for guys is just boredom and isolation. So I really encourage guys to get out of the house. I gave up social networks, stopped getting on Facebook because that's something that triggers a lot of guys, because it's real similar to searching through porn as you're searching through, you know, girls' profile pics. Stopped reading magazines. I had some bodybuilding magazines and stuff with some very sexual pictures in them, and I ended up, you know, doing more looking and less reading. Another thing that really upset me was listening to the radio.
Really?
Because everything on mainstream radio right now is just sex this, sex that, let's have sex all night long. And that just infuriated me whenever I was going through withdrawal and, you know, I had ED. So I just cut out the radio altogether for a couple months during my reboot. That really helped keep me at ease.
So it sounds like you sort of unplugged yourself from modern life in sense, at least certain aspects of it.
Just for a period of time. The reboot is really two parts. You want to reboot, which is a, you know, complete rest from anything artificial, any sexual stimulation, and then rewire. So during the reboot, you know, I really tried to unplug, like you're saying. I did all those things, got outside, I started exercising more, I started playing basketball, and really just trying to get out and be healthy instead of sit inside and, you know, watch reality TV, when in reality, watching reality TV, you're just sitting there wasting your life, and that's not reality at all.
So. Yeah, I can't believe people watch reality TV, but that would be another show. Now, this whole thing about rewiring is a concept that's a bit vague, and maybe it's purposefully vague. When I think of myself, I didn't have to wire up to real girls. When I started masturbating when I was a teen, I was thinking about real girls. So when the time came about, there was no problem. How would you describe rewiring to the real thing?
Well, another question that's been coming up a lot is this rewiring thing. A lot of guys freak out, you know, they're virgins, they're in their mid-20s, and they're like, okay, well, do I have to rewire to recover? In a sense, yes, they do, but that doesn't necessarily mean penis and vagina intercourse. Some things that can help is just being around real women, cuddling. If you can find a mate that's willing to cuddle with you, which there are plenty out there, I assure you, just talking, kissing, cuddling, maybe even just being in their presence, thinking and imagining, you know, real life scenarios, thinking about real women, like all those things can rewire you. And also, every man has a natural natural wiring for women in the first place, yes, porn definitely screws that up and, you know, hijacks that circuitry. But, you know, for instance, I had a friend that he watched porn for a couple years. He didn't lose his virginity until he was, you know, 21, 22, and he still didn't have ED. Now, he didn't escalate into hardcore porn. He didn't watch too much high-speed internet porn, but he still had some natural wiring, even though he had never had, you know, a sexual experience before. So I really encourage guys to just, you know, relax about that. Whenever you feel like you're ready, if you've gone, you know, long enough in your reboot, find a partner who's willing to take it slow. There's no rush. You can rewire without having sex.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. You're listening to KSKQ 89.5, and this is Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle, and we're talking to Gabe. This rewiring thing, the reason I gave myself as an example is that's how all of us guys did it. We were thinking about real girls, imagining real girls, maybe imagining touching real girls long before we had any type of experience. So just the thoughts of girls, or if you're gay, the thoughts of guys, whatever, if you're thinking about real and you're not trying to place real people into a porn scenario, especially a porn scenario that was your fetish or got you off, I think that's an important thing. We talked about this before, is some of your real thoughts involved porn scenarios, and you had to get rid of those, right?
Yeah. Like you said, back in the day, you know, a couple generations ago, guys did not have all these porn scenarios in their heads when they're 10, 11 years old. I remember when I was masturbating, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old, really the last time I masturbated without porn was probably when I was 13 or 14. The things I was imagining were crazy. You're talking orgies, lots of porn scenarios and hardcore genres were going through my head when I was fantasizing. Back in the day, you know, guys were thinking about boobs or touching and just regular missionary sex or something like that, and it's totally different today. I mean, what we're exposed to now, by the time you're 12 or 13, when you're using your imagination, you're already using, you know, porn scripts and not real life. So the expectations for guys are just completely jacked up, and girls.
Yeah, so when they think about real girls, it's maybe just thinking about real girls or thinking about real guys. Think about real people, you know, looking at them, anything, but don't place them into what you learned off the internet. Isn't that correct? Now, last week, I did a little show, and I discussed how some of the mainstream is grabbing hold of porn-induced ED. And one of the shows that came out was Dr. Oz, and I discussed it a little bit. Now, what are your views on the Dr. Oz show on porn-induced erectile dysfunction?
So I was super pumped that Dr. Oz took this problem head-on and, you know, got it on his show. So first off, I want to say, you know, awesome job to him for going through with it. He had Sue Varma, Andrew Kramer, and Ian Kerner on his show, and Andrew Kramer and Sue Varma did really good. The show started off awesome. A few of the problems, though, that you saw that they had a guy on there that he only masturbated, I think he said, two or three times a week. So that's going to be, he's going to definitely be on the low end side of the scale on what the average is, guys that are coming to your side or your brain rebalanced or whatever. They encourage, you know, abstinence for 4 weeks. That might work for some older guys or some, you know, some people that their wiring hasn't been ingrained too deep, but as we know, that's usually not enough time. But the fact that they even encouraged it was great. That was good. Another thing, he said after 4 weeks of abstinence, the guy can return to his mental database and start masturbating again, which he's referring to fantasy. And if a guy starts using porn fantasy again, we know that fires up some of the same circuits, and that could lead back to ED. We're not really sure, but I just wouldn't encourage porn fantasy at all.
Right.
You know, after you complete a reboot, you want to fantasize about real. So the show was doing great, you know, at bridging the gap, you know, and getting people more aware. In his closing statements, though, Ian Kerner, the last minute of the show, you know, he encouraged people that it could spice up, you know, the bedroom, because a lot of couples are complaining of sexual boredom. But when he said that, you know, I realized some couples might be sexually bored, but is that because of porn use? Is porn use causing that boredom that, you know, they have higher expectations? And the fact that, you know, you encourage a guy to use porn to fix a problem that porn caused just blows
Yeah, that is quite.
It doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, on the whole, it was a great show. I'm really glad that it got the attention.
Yeah.
I hope to see more stuff like that. Last week or 2 weeks ago, the UK did a little segment.
New Zealand, actually.
Five-minute segment on Porn and New CD, and they did great. So we're seeing it pop up more and more, and I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, just to reiterate that Ian Kerner is a sexologist. The other three members of the panel on Dr. Oz were medical doctors. The three medical doctors who know more about neurobiology did not suggest that the person go back to using what caused his ED in the first place. So that's just perhaps a standard fare with sexologists.
Another thing, Gary, I was going to say is he suggests that the users watch female-friendly porn.
Oh, right, right.
Kind of suggesting that it's the type of porn a guy watches that gives him ED. And we know that's not the case. It's the novelty that internet porn provides that desensitizes us and, you know, wires our brains. So it really doesn't matter what type of porn a guy gets hooked on, as long as he's constantly clicking from tab to tab, you know, multiple tabs open at one time. That's what is behind the ED, not what type of porn you're watching. You could be watching anything and get ED.
Well, yes, I know of a couple of people who just watched swimsuit models, but they would run through anywhere from 1,000 or more pictures in a single session. So obviously their session lasted a long time. And of course that didn't match reality, 1,000 different partners in one session. And in that case, they had ED because they had conditioned their brain to expect 1,000 different swimsuit models for sex. And that just didn't work out for them in this lifetime. Now, I want to go back to this whole concept of Dr. Oz and suggesting 4 weeks. The fact is that young guys who wire their sexuality to internet porn or anything false, they really are wiring. It's like Pavlovian conditioning, where the dog would salivate to a bell. You are training your brain to get excited to a certain type of stimuli. So the older guy on Dr. Oz didn't spend his youth masturbating to only porn and thus having sexual conditioning. Now, are there any other suggestions? I know you get so many emails, suggestions for guys out there when it comes to rebooting.
One thing I want to say, and I really do believe this is the most important thing, is just the mindset you have when you go into this. For me personally, whenever I realize that porn ruined my ability to get excited with the real girl, when I realized that porn took my sex drive away and the ability to appreciate a cute girl's smile, and I realized and felt the weight of just the pain and the hurt that I've caused girls in the past, and really just crushing their self-esteem, and knowing that that was because my selfish desire to please myself with porn, it just really hit me hard, man, and I felt the weight of it, and I immediately had the mindset that porn is not an option anymore. I was willing to go through hell to get through the other side, and I can't explain how to tell guys to get to that mindset of really understanding that you have to give up porn, you gotta let your brain unwire, and really find, you know, a loving relationship that you can pour into, because the reality is porn will never satisfy you. It's really gonna lead you to a place where you can't satisfy anyone, and it will just rob the joy in your heart from you. I just encourage guys to get to that mindset to where you're willing to go through whatever it takes. And I know it can be so scary. Like, when you're going through recovery and your wiener don't work and you're freaking out, like, I understand the pain. I've been there, and the anxiety that causes. But just know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. If porn is the cause, from what we've seen so far, your brain can heal. I don't think we've heard of anyone that hasn't recovered when porn was the cause. So just know that. Relax, pursue patience, and pursue discipline, because every guy needs those two traits. And this rebooting process will really open your eyes to that reality, that you just have to be patient and really just be willing to go through the pain, and know that guys have been there before and walked through those steps, and they've got to the other side.
It's interesting that so many guys need to have complete ED in order to recognize what porn may have done to them. I would suggest that porn-induced ED is the final step and that other changes have occurred. In other words, I have read many, many fetishes disappear. Guys thought they had a certain fetish for feet or maybe anal sex or some type of strange... I'm not even going to get into what they would have a fetish for. But it disappears. So what is you and what was porn? I think that's really the purpose of a reboot, besides getting your erections back if you have that problem, is really finding out what is you and what is porn. Now, what about what's going on in schools now? You work closely with young people. In fact, you're going to give a little talk to the PTA, I understand. We have about 5 minutes left. Could you give us a little bit of a rundown of what you're seeing with adolescents now?
Yeah, in the past 2-3 months, I've been trying to get plugged into the school system, the education system here, you know, in Dallas, Texas. And I've been talking to a lot of principals and school officers and just really trying to dig deep in what they're coming across with kids having smartphones, having access to laptops and, you know, iPads and stuff like that. Every single one of them has said that it's a problem. In the high school level, it's a bigger issue. The kids are more willing to send pictures and stuff. But on the whole, the sexting epidemic is just rampant. One of the officers I talked to said that it's a frequent and reoccurring problem, that every week they have girls get their pictures uploaded on the internet or passed around through apps such as like Kick or some of the new apps that you can send quick picture messages. And it's an every week issue that this is happening. Yesterday I was working, and I work with teens, and one of the girls told me that a friend of hers asked her to send her a naked picture of him. And I mean, she's 12. At an elementary school, about a month ago, there was a group of fifth grade boys that were caught watching porn on a Nintendo DS. So, I mean, this is seeped down into elementary. We're talking, you know, first through fifth grade. And it's all over the place. The school officers, they're well aware of it. Someone has to do something about it. And it's really disturbing because, as we know, that is the period of life where those kids' brains are the most vulnerable to addiction. And they're eating it up on their devices, hardcore porn, that is. And it's jacking their brains up, and it's something that definitely needs to be addressed. That's what I'm trying to do, is get in there and educate the parents and the teachers on the reality of the issue, and then, you know, encouraging someone to figure out what to do.
Yeah, I remember when I hit 11 and 12, and I had tremendous interest in finding out about everything sexual. So if I had had access to the internet, I would have been searching like crazy. So it's hard for me to imagine that another 12 or 13-year-old is not searching the internet to find out everything about sex. And of course, what they find out about sex on the internet is quite different than what I found when I was at age 12. I found a picture of a naked girl, maybe one picture, and that was it. And I thought, wow, that's what a naked girl looks like. So that was great, but that was it, my one picture.
By the time I was 12, I was watching gangbangs and double anal scenes and, you know, just stuff like that shocks a little child's brain.
It shocks my big brain. It's upsetting me right now.
Exactly. It's just crazy how fast it's escalated. You know, I did a talk.
Now we have only a minute left.
And he was telling me about his experiences, and he was exposed. And when he was in fourth grade, his friend had some porn on his Xbox. And then by the time he was in seventh grade, he said that the kids at school were passing phones around during lunch on the lunch tables and kind of crowding around and watching porn. He said the same thing in the locker rooms. They'd watch porn on their phones. And a kid in his English class in high school, he's a sophomore now, so freshman year of high school, this kid watched porn during class on his cell phone under the desk, and he didn't care, you know, who saw or who knew about it, as long as the teacher didn't know.
Gabe, we're going to have to wrap up. So we're going to have you back on and discuss kids and porn. Thanks, Gabe, for being our guest on Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. See you later.
All right, thanks for having me on, Gary.
You bet.